As we sing "To God Be the Glory," hymn number 98, "To God Be the Glory."
Who truly believes that moment? Begin with, there we go, here we go. Hit the right button, it works. Everybody's good now. I'll be on page 7. If you would turn to page 8, that would be great. And hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray in silence for a moment. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And I want to do something we don't do here very often. You have 1 minute to do it. And I'm timing you. Let us offer peace and signs of reconciliation to each other by just turning to your neighbor and saying to them, God loves you and so do I. And after that, you may be seated, but turn and say it to them. Don't listen. God loves you and so do I.
That's our group hug.
What?
So you still got time. There's just 10 seconds left. Exactly right. All right, you may be seated for our time of sharing of joys and concerns and our prayer time. Do we have any joys and concerns that you would bring before the church at this time?
My mother-in-law had a penny stroke last week. I prayed for her and prayed for the people that had to put up with her. But I sent her home Saturday to her sister and her father and her
husband. So I don't want to pry, but it sounds like I also need to be praying for the dear folk in the rehab center. She goes there too. Is that? Yes, okay. Okay. We'll pray for her healing quickly. I think that would be good. Anybody else? Pray for my dear wife. She's with her mother and for her birthday today in Morristown. Her and Gray Lincoln need to pray for her mother because she's got Gracie and Mary Lynn both together today. And so they're there. And so pray for them. Safe journey. And I heard somebody else's voice. Pat? I heard your voice. Okay. I just didn't hear my old age. I don't know if that's never happened to y'all before, but it happens to me. Anybody else?
Remember Brittany. She's got a massive migraine.
Did I do that? It's not my fault, is it? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. We'll pray together. There'll be no Lord's Prayer. It'll be done during the communion service. So let's just pray together. And I believe we got this where we're singing between my prayer and taking the offering, right?
I think so.
Okay, we're going to do it that way, whether we do or not. Let's pray together. We'll freely after that. On this World Communion Sunday, when people have gathered and will gather across the world to offer ourselves to you as we partake of that gift that you offered to us, as we gather in that mode of love and caring, we ask, O Lord, that you'd allow us to offer ourselves in a way that is beyond any expectation that we could have of ourselves. For indeed, I think we do not allow ourselves to be as expectant as we need to be, and joyful as we need to be, and as hopeful as we should be. We do pray that you would be the one that had stroke, that you would bless her, that you would be with the ones who care for her. Let her feel the presence of your spirit in her soul and the healing of her body that comes from you. We offer ourselves for all others who have asked prayer, both verbally and silently this day, that grace would be so prevalent in their prayers that we would be changed and moved and truly freely come to you. Now grant us this day a glimpse of eternity that we'll be so excited to be part of it that our lives would be totally changed. And let us encounter you with every breath we take in this worship. Now may God's blessings be upon each of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join us in hymn number 389, Freely, Freely, and stand as you are able.
We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. and gentlemen. Let us pray. Our gift to you is ourselves. Your gift to us is your Son. Let us give the way he gave in the fullness and completeness of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So normally I have you stand for the reading of God's word, but I'm not going to do that today because I want you to open a Bible. We give them to you in the pews. You should have brought your own anyway, but if you don't have one, try to find one. Everybody's searching. If not, get out your phone. You've got one on it. And so we're in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. We're going to start a sermon series on the parables of Jesus. And I figured we would just start out with this one. One that's that walks us through forgiveness. One that walks us through how to forgive, because each one of us need forgiveness. Whether we want to admit it or not, each one of us need forgiveness in our lives. So let us pray together. And now may the grace of God on this World Communion Sunday walk with us and forgive us and love us in ways we cannot imagine. May the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. May we be touched. And may we leave this place glowing from the presence of God, that people would see us and want to know what had happened to cause us to be so close to the Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, friends, we want to work through some things this morning. This is in the midst of a group of parables, okay? Jesus is really in that place in Matthew where he's finished the Sermon on the Mount way back in chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, back through that area, and he's now moved us over here into a parable section, and he's trying to explain some things for us. And so he does this, begin with verse 23. So follow with me. Let's have a conversation. Verse 23 says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves." Now listen to it. Now listen to it carefully. Some of it says "like" instead of "compared." But I want you to hear what it says, "compared to." So what you're about to hear is not an one-for-one, an apple-for-apple, an exact translation of what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is a translation for earthly beings to understand heavenly thought. Jesus always has a problem of trying to explain physical earthly things and spiritual things in the same conversation, when all we really know fully is the physical, earthly things that we live. So he's trying to help us compare. So he says, can be compared to, or it's like what you'll find in heaven. It's kind of like that. So here's the issue. "This reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." He owed him more than he could pay him. Let's just say it that way on the amount that was owed here. "Was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife, his children, all of his possessions, and payment to be made." So here's how we're going to settle the debt. He can't pay. He knows he can't pay. The Lord, the king, at this point says to him, okay, here's how we're going to settle it. I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell your wife. I'm going to sell your children. I'm going to sell your land. I'm going to sell everything you have. I'm going to sell it. And I'm going to completely sell it all, and you're going to be left with, good morning, did you bring me a passy? No passy. She's not going to give me her passy. Did you notice that? Nope, no passy. Okay, so watch what it does. He's going to sell everything that he has completely. He's going to be gone into bond servanthood. The terminology that you need to learn here is bond servanthood. He's going to be sold to bond servanthood, and in selling him to bond servanthood, he goes and works for somebody. In this case, the rest of his life, he goes and works. And he stays there and he works and he continues to work for the entire rest of his life, along with his wife, who's going to be sold to another person in bond servanthood. And she's going to go and work. She may be next door. She may be across the street. She may be half the world around. He may never see her again. And she's going to be sold. The children are going to be sold the same way. And they're going to work through their entire life for that. And they're going to work and they're going to take care of, taking care of this debt. And then he's going to sell all of his land. And after he sold every bit of his land, he's going to take it and that's going to settle the debt. And the man's going to leave there and never come home again because he has nothing to come home to. This is what he's going to do. Now, so the slave fell on his knees before him saying, "Have patience with me and I will pay you everything." Knowing he cannot possibly pay him all, but this is what he asked. "You come to Jesus Christ in your salvation and you have no way to give to God what needs to be paid or given for that salvation. Jesus paid that on the cross. So when you come and you ask God to enter your heart through salvation, you are having your debt paid, the debt of sin paid, and everything is taken care of, and you are covered with the blood of Christ, and that debt has been paid, and you owe nothing. But there's some differences here, and watch it. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt." Now, did the slave do anything to earn it? Not one thing. The slave is forgiven his debt out of pity. We are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ, not because we earned it, but because through justification, we are justified because of faith. The slave here knows that the only person that can forgive him is his Lord, his King. And so he begs for it, and he receives it. Now watch. "But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, week or so's wages. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay me what you owe.'" Nice guy, isn't he? Let me ask you a question. After your salvation, I know most of y'all, if not all of y'all, are almost perfect. Amen? After you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, have you sinned any? Yeah? Am I the only one in the building that sinned since my salvation? No, y'all join me? Okay. This slave goes out. He doesn't just sin. He puts his hand around his neck and threatens to kill him if he don't pay him. With a nice, "Pay me what you owe." And his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him. See if y'all heard this sentence before. "Have patience with me and I will pay you." All right, now friends, here's where it gets rough. It's been easy to now. Piece of cake up to here. Watch it. "But he refused. And he went and threw him into prison until he would pay his debt." In other words, he sent him to the rock pile in prison until he worked off his debt in prison for what he owed him. Wow. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. I want to help you with something. Do y'all know you do nothing in a vacuum? That when you do something, people are watching. Do y'all remember the show Bewitched on TV? Are y'all old enough to remember that show? Do y'all remember Gladys Kravitz that lived right next door? Yeah, y'all remember her? Every one of us got a Gladys in our life. Amen? Every one of us got someone that's watching. And in case of most of us, we have some ones who are watching. You don't do anything in a vacuum. Just remember that. And by the way, in case you don't know, God's watching. So watch it. This gets so different for us here. Fellow slaves saw it had happened. They were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, think about this real carefully, my friends. The Lord summoned him to have a conversation. Aren't you glad on occasion that God doesn't summon you before the throne every now and then just to have a conversation? Wow. I kind of wished he could. I think I'd rather do them one at a time than I had to do them all at once. When we get to that time of reckoning, he said this, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me." Hear the inference. Not because you deserved it, not because I should have, not because I had any reason to. I did it only because you pleaded with me. Put in good old Southern terms, the slave begged well. "Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to the tortured until he would pay his entire debt. Notice what he's handed over to be, tortured until he pays his entire debt. Now notice who's left out of this conversation. The wife, the children, and the land are left out. Wife and children had nothing to do with not forgiving. It's the individual who's held accountable. And he turned him over to be tortured. Now here's the part that you got to deal with now. All this is a good parable. We can live with it. Slave should have acted better. Should have been all right if he'd just forgiven and get all this. You can kind of rationalize and go with it and it's fine. You know, you can kind of get past it and it's good. But we get to this. Verse 35. "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Pastored a church about 25 years ago. Young lady came into church and she worshiped with us. And after church, she told me the following story. She was pregnant. She was 8.5 months pregnant, as we found out at that time. It's kind of hard to hide 8.5 months of pregnancy. She was 8.5 months pregnant. And she said, I'm looking for a place to go to church. I said, okay. Love to have you. Well, let me tell you who I am. I said, okay. I am a woman that am pregnant by a man who is married to another woman. I'm out of wedlock. My family made me leave my church out of disgrace. I went to another church, and they told me I wasn't allowed to worship there because of my sins. And I've come here wanting just a place to worship and somebody who will baptize my baby, because she had nothing to do with this. I've been asked to leave the total of 9 different churches, 4 of them Methodist. She wanted me to know that. Well, I looked at her and said, "I always ask the question, ye without sin cast the first stone." She said, "I know what I did was wrong. I've asked forgiveness. I know what I did was inappropriate. I just want to worship and seek forgiveness. And I want my baby to have a home." So the church that I was serving at that time happens to be the church that my daughter still plays the piano at, in Soddy Daisy. Took her in, made her family. The baby was baptized when she was 4 weeks old. And they grew to be part of that church. Eventually, it took a while, but eventually she joined that church, and the people accepted her in, and she became part of that family in a way that only that she could be in a place that loved her. Let me ask the question, did she sin? Yeah. Was she forgiven? Well, what you don't know, then this story is about 4 years after that, the person who had the affair with her died. The wife of that person joined our same church. They have become best friends, and she has done everything she could to help raise that child who now is 22 years old and serves a United Methodist Church as one of our pastors in the church. Forgiveness. Had to be hard for that lady to come to our church and worship there with her. It had to be hard to forgive. What's here is an understanding that we're expected to act the way God acts in forgiveness. And when you read that last sentence, it's what I challenge you to read over and over again in this text. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and your sister. And notice the last words on how this text reads it, from your heart. From the very essence of your soul, you have to learn to forgive. Now, let's just be fair with this. Notice anywhere in this sermon where I said it was easy. Notice any place in this sermon that I told you I did this with no problem whatsoever and I never had any issue whatsoever and it was just a piece of cake. I didn't say that. What I said was that's what God asked us to do. If you watch it carefully, John Wesley said in one of his writings that one of the reasons he did not believe in once saved, always saved, is that we're constantly being saved over and over again because we have to in faith. It's one of the reasons he didn't believe that, and he believed that we had the right to give away our salvation, was that Jesus called the disciples to understand that you could be called back in front of the Lord again and be asked the question, why did you not do what I asked you to do? Forgiveness is the central tenet of who we are. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid we've taught dislike. I'm afraid we've taught we have to be right above all things before we've taught forgiveness. Does it mean that we shouldn't stand up for truth? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Should it mean that we should let things that are sinful go and not speak to them? Nope, doesn't mean that at all. We need to speak to them. We need to address them. But what it means is forgiveness is paramount to the entire conversation. And without it, we lose the centralness of who God is, which is to forgive us. Because guess what? My sin is more than it needs to be. And without Christ, I cannot be forgiven. Who in here could ever speak to the fact that they don't need Jesus in the forgiveness? And the answer is, if we're truthful to ourselves, we praise God for justification. Because without justification, being saved just as we are, we can never become the children of God that we are called to be. On this day, which is World Communion Sunday, Terry, if you'd help me. On this day, which is World Communion Sunday, we come today. You'll find on the screen your part of the reading. We come today with the people from around the world who have taken communion already and will take communion before the end of this day. I think of three special people today who are serving communion that are my friends. One who is working with the underground church in North Korea, who sometime today, earlier today, because obviously their time frame's different than ours, served communion to 50 to 100 people who are gathered in a cave for fear of their life so they could worship on World Communion Sunday and take communion together. I think of my dear friend who's in the Ukraine, who's following the armies right now who are trying to retake land in their country, and she's trying to get back to her church, who was part of the land that was taken a few months ago. And she wants to serve them today, and I know her. Wherever she was, she has served. And I always think of the men and women of our armed forces who sometime today, one of their chaplains, two of which came from this annual conference, one of which I was their district superintendent, today served them communion somewhere around the world. And they have bowed and taken communion, and then they will go out and defend us and care for us. And I think of those dear chaplains who are worshiping God with their troops. And those are just three groups of people that I think of today as we do this together with them as the family of God. So join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family and all the world is joining at this holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church through the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. Our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.